Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Blessings to you this Holy Week.
And here's a quick look at what is coming up on the Rediscover Hour today. We'll talk with Father John Paul Erickson, Director of the Office of Worship for the Archdiocese, about the beautiful liturgy of the Triduum.
Plus, in today's No Ordinary Conversation, we'll listen in on a discussion between Archbishop Nienstedt and Father Erickson about what the Rediscover Initiative is and what it means for our local church.
And we'll talk with Deacon Joe Mihalik about the topic of the fourth and final talk in the 2013 Rediscover Faith Speakers Series. He'll take us through Rediscover the Way, keeping God at the center of my life.
Plus, we'll hear from local Catholics about their prayers for our new Holy Father, Pope Francis.
But we're going to start the hour with Joe Towalski, editor of the Catholic Spirit, with a look at some of the stories in this week's issue. Good morning to you, Joe.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Corey.
And this is another special edition, isn't it?
Well, it's our March 28th edition, and we've got lots of continuing coverage of Pope Francis, who keeps us busy here, certainly with the news that he's making with his first liturgies and audiences. He continues to surprise a lot of people with the things he does, most recently now his decision to live in the Vatican guest house instead of the papal apartments. I think it's causing all of us in the church, from cardinals and bishops down to us people in the pews, to really reflect on our own lives, I think, and making us think more deeply about living more simply and more focused on the gospel's call to love the poor. You know, if the Pope can do these things, you know, certainly I think it motivates us on a deeper level to think about making similar changes in our own lives. So,
always a good thing to think about.
Absolutely. And so we have a number of stories about the Pope in this week's issue. And also, he has a very busy Holy Week schedule, and we have a Holy Week section this week that I'd like to draw a little bit of attention to. We have an article in there by Father Michael Van Sloan, who is a pastor at St. Stephen in Anoka, that's adapted from the Rediscover website, about the Easter Triduum and the importance of attending the liturgies during these three holy days, and it includes suggestions for celebrating them in additional ways. And
he's done a marvelous job at St. Stephen, hasn't he?
He does. They have a lot of certainly a lot of things going on there, and he's done some wonderful things for our Rediscover Initiative. A lot of the articles on our website for that are things that he has written. And in this particular one that he's written, he talks about some what he calls discipleship action items around the Triduum here. So in addition to, for example, talking about the importance of attending the Good Friday services where we venerate the cross, he points out, for example, the importance of having a crucifix in a prominent place in our home and venerating it throughout the year. And he talks about following a Triduum fast, so extending in some ways what we were doing during Lent, yes, continuing maybe to fast from food as we prepare for Easter, really the greatest feast of all, but also doing something additional, maybe a holy hour or visiting a church or fasting from TV or Facebook, and then after we celebrate the joy of Easter, sharing the good news of Christ's resurrection with someone else that we know, maybe somebody in our family, maybe a friend, maybe a coworker. And of course, that's all in the spirit of the whole Rediscover Initiative itself.
And that's in the spirit of our baptism, for that matter.
Exactly. And it's interesting you bring that up, because we also, have another story in this week's spirit that's in the Easter spirit, one that's kind of a resurrection story. And we have a feature about some of the wonderful Catholic outreach and evangelization that is happening at St. Stephen Parish in Minneapolis. Several years ago, the parish was going through some changes, some hard times, and many people that were going to church there stopped going there. But the new pastor at the time, who's the pastor now, Father Joseph Williams, worked very hard on turning things around. He instituted a model for evangelization that included weekly meetings and then going out on the street and into the surrounding neighborhoods with others to invite people to maybe learn more about the faith, maybe learn more about the parish and what it has to offer. And it's been very successful.
Kind of a resurrection of the parish, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's why it's such a great Easter-themed story, I think. And this parish has a very large Latino population. And these days, it's 9 a.m. Sunday Mass in Spanish is packed. It's filled to the brim. And one thing I really like from reading this story that Dave Hrabacek on our staff wrote that really impressed me is something that the parish does that makes a very visible connection at the Easter Vigil between the missionaries, as they call them, that go out and talk about their faith in the church, and the people who are going to be initiated into the church at the Easter Vigil. They sit across from each other during the vigil, and in part, it's so the congregation can see the fruits of this invitation that they put out there. So you have the order of missionaries, so to speak, with the order of catechumens that are there. So it's a very beautiful thing, a very symbolic thing. And we have a very nice feature that Dave did with some lovely photos in this week's issue.
And what else?
Well,
I know you've got something else.
We've also got a wonderful Easter Vigil-related story in this week's Rediscover Pullout section. It's a story about a woman, Kim Haverstock is her name, who will be initiated into the church at the Easter Vigil Mass at Holy Family in St. Louis Park. She has a very interesting story. She was raised in another denomination, and her father was actually a missionary pastor. But after her son eventually went off to college, he met what she called a well-catechized Catholic there, and he was intrigued enough from what he was hearing to learn more about the Catholic faith. He eventually enrolled in an RCIA program and later on decided to become a Catholic. And that led his mom, Kim, to explore the Catholic Church more deeply. She was listening to CDs by Scott Hahn, and she watched the Catholicism series on television by Father Robert Barron, among other things, and she is becoming Catholic, will be initiated at the Easter Vigil. But here's the kicker. Her son not only became Catholic, he's now a seminarian for the Archdiocese at the North American College in Rome, and he's received permission to come back for the Easter Vigil to be with his mom and show his support. It's a really cool thing, and I think we have some audio here of Kim and her son talking about that.
I'm really excited that my mom is becoming Catholic. Certainly it's been something that I've prayed for, you know, ever since becoming Catholic myself, prayed that my family would be able to join me in going to Mass and receiving the sacraments and just being fully united in the faith. You know, they were the first ones who taught me Christianity as a kid growing up, and they've always been good examples of how to live the faith. Archbishop Neinsted gave me permission to come back from my studies in Rome. The seminarians over there don't come back for 2 years until the summer after their second year. So it's a long time. And when I mentioned that my mom was coming into the church, they decided that that'd be a worthy cause to come back for and to be there to help be there for encouragement and to be there for the moment. So I'm so grateful to Archbishop Neinsted for letting me come back.
I'm extremely excited as we're in this Holy Week. I was excited coming into it, and there's all these nice services. I just so want to be part of all of that and continue to encounter God and give Him my praise and consider Christ's passion through all of that and His great love that He has for all of us. Also, I'm extremely thankful that God has reached out and chosen me or found me to bring me into the fullness of His Catholic Church, because none of it was me. It was all God working as the shepherd of His great flock to help me to encounter all His graces, which I know are found in the Catholic Church.
That's just a wonderful story of faith and conversion, and that Kim's son, Paul Haverstock, is able to come and be there with his mom. It'll just be a real wonderful, blessed evening for the whole family.
All in that current edition of The Catholic Spirit, which should be on your coffee table or in your hands right now, better yet. Check it out. Or go to thecatholicspirit.com, right?
That's right. We have all our stories posted there, and everything you see in the paper, and more, of course.
Thanks for joining us this morning, Joe.
Yep, have a blessed Easter.
Okay, you can hear Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit, regularly on the Rediscover Hour. Coming up, we'll talk with Father John Paul Erickson about the beauty and mystery of the Triduum Liturgy, and we'll have an in-depth discussion about keeping God at the center of our lives with Deacon Joe Mihalik in today's Answering the Call.
Plus, local Catholics share their prayers for Pope Francis, and we hear from Archbishop Neinstadt about the importance of the Rediscover Initiative in today's No Ordinary Conversation. All this and a whole lot more when we come right back on the Rediscover Hour.
This is Carrie Becker of Becker Building and Remodeling with over 30 years' experience in home construction and remodeling. I'd like you to meet Adam and Makea, who are now living in a new home we've built for them.
As first-time homebuyers, we never dreamed that our first home would be one that we custom built, but with Carrie's enthusiasm and expertise in the field, he made the process fun and exciting for us.
For someone building a home, I would encourage them to find someone they trust. We found that in Carrie. We let a lot of things fall into place, and in the end, we were really happy. I think my favorite thing about our finished home is knowing that we were part of every step of the planning process with Carrie. We were able to talk about what we wanted, to tweak things along the way. And so when I'm in my house, I really feel like it's my own, and the decisions were a collaborative effort.
What can we build or remodel for you? Remember, keep on listening to Relevant Radio and keep the faith. Becker Building and Remodeling, a Catholic-owned business you can trust. 612-363-0493.
Well, the hallelujahs will come Saturday night and Sunday morning, but welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan.
Holy Week is, of course, the summit of the Church's liturgical year, a time of deep meaning and reflection for all Catholics.
And today we are joined on the phone by Father John Paul Erickson, director of the Archdiocese Office of Worship, who will walk us through the celebration of the Triduum. Father Erickson, are you there?
I am indeed, Corey.
How are you?
You know, I'm doing great. This is as you say, these are the high days of the Church's liturgical year. They really are, the way I like to describe them, is our Catholic Super Bowl.
Right.
We had a wonderful beginning last night at the Cathedral at Holy Thursday.
I was there.
Fantastic.
I saw you. It was great.
The Cathedral resounded with the cries of God's holy people, but it also smelled like church.
It did.
Tons of incense.
I love that, though.
We of course used it during the Eucharistic prayer, but then during that beautiful moment of the procession of the Blessed Sacrament throughout the cathedral, which is always very moving for me. We know, of course, as Catholics, that this is Jesus himself, the very same Jesus who was held by our Blessed Mother in Bethlehem, the very same Jesus who was crucified, now processes with great love among his people. So it's a very moving moment.
Right.
And that, of course, begins the Triduum, the 3 days of prayer in which we, in an intense, particularly intense way, remember the great gift of love that is Jesus himself. He himself is the gift of love of the Father. We begin with this Thursday service of commemorating the institution of the Eucharist and of the priesthood, which spills over into today, Good Friday, in which we remember the death of our Lord, and we remember that with the veneration of the cross and with the solemn proclamation of the gospel account in the Gospel of John of the death of Jesus, which then goes into really the high point, Saturday night, after ideally...
Well, that's a big one.
Yeah, it is. Ideally after sunset, where, submerged in darkness, the Church raises high the Easter candle, this image of the triumph of good over evil. And it's so appropriate and important, I believe, that More importantly, I think the church believes that this liturgy take place in darkness because it does show in a very stark way this triumph of light in the midst of the real darkness of our world, the search for meaning, the search for answers in the midst of suffering.
Well, the very beginning of it is the service of light with a fire lit outside the church,
and spot on.
Symbolism is much deeper if it's dark around.
Oh, I think that's exactly right, Paul. And you know, we have to acknowledge, of course, sometimes you know, certain practical considerations make the full symbolic availability difficult.
But, sure.
But you're spot on. The ideal is to begin outside in darkness, and then as we process into the church, and as the faces of the people of God are illuminated by this light, we recognize the real mystery of the Christian discipleship. We are called to be the light of Christ in the darkened world. That Jesus is alive not only in the sacraments in a very powerful way, but he's also alive within the baptized. Which brings us, I would say, even to the high point of the Easter Vigil. So the Easter Vigil is the high point of the Triduum, but within the Vigil we have the baptism and the reception of individuals in the faith, such as Mrs. Halverstock tonight at Holy Family, such a beautiful, beautiful occasion. And I again, I'm always so moved when I think about these individuals in the midst of very bad PR that we have as a church so often. Some of it self-imposed. People still want in. People still want to be Catholic.
Yep.
And, you know, G.K. Chesterton's got a great quote that there are a million reasons to leave the church, but only one reason to stay. It is true. And these people are brothers and sisters. They recognize that. And some of them are coming into the church with great sacrifice. I know of individuals who choose to become Catholic, and their very spouse doesn't quite understand, but they still want in, and they are willing to endure the passion that will be that entrance.
You know, another one that goes along with that is bad PR is still PR.
No, that's right.
PR.
You're spot on. You're spot on.
Well, and then Archbishop Nienstedt said last night, I think he quoted Matthew Kelly, once you are a Catholic and you receive that Eucharist, that's going to keep you there forever.
Absolutely. And, you know, even, I have to say, even the individuals that are baptized, you know, when they are young people, most of us, I would say, it is a powerful thing to remember that once you are baptized, you are always baptized. And I do like to remind especially mourning mothers as they watch their children kind of wander a bit and seek to rediscover the meaning of their own life, that mark of baptism is on those souls.
It's still there, right?
And the kind of the homing signal of Jesus is there. But as the Archbishop mentioned, once you fully recognize the power and the beauty of the Eucharist and the fullness of the Catholic faith, yes, I think he's right. There really is no turning back. I'm reminded of Peter as Jesus, after describing the meaning of the Eucharist to those individuals around him in the Gospel of John, he turns to the apostles and he says, "Will you too leave me?" And Peter says, I think in a moment of exasperation, you have the words of eternal life. Where should we go? We've experienced the fullness of life. There's no way we can go back to limitedness again.
Exactly.
We want it all, despite the challenges. So,
can you unpack the word triduum a little bit for us and what it really means?
Sure. And the pronunciation correctly, just
yes,
so that
indeed.
We're... Right, with this.
I think both you and Paul are pronouncing it perfectly, as far as I'm aware. Now, you know, a single word can have many different pronunciations, but triduum is how I've heard it, so
okay.
Triduum. And, of course, it comes from, as far as I'm aware, the Latin term for three. We think of the word trinity or triune. Of course, T-R-I being the very so closely pronunciated, close to three. So triduum really means 3 days. And that's what it's the 3 days in which we reflect upon the passion of our Lord, the resurrection of our Lord, and the presence of our Lord among us holy people. So it is a way of describing 3 days of particularly intense prayer.
But liturgically, isn't it just supposed to be one day, or what does that mean, really?
Yes, indeed. That's
It's a liturgy that lasts 3 days, isn't it?
That's That's right. It really does. Once we begin in Holy Thursday, once we rise for that opening procession, the church really is remembering and reliving, making present one single event, which is the saving passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. And while it is chronologically these three separate distinct days, the idea is that all three of these events, the institution of the Eucharist and the institution of the priesthood remembered on Holy Thursday, the saving death of our Lord and Good Friday, the resurrection of Christ and the vigil and the presence of Christ within the baptized, all of these are one single event. What is that event? That event is the gift of Jesus, the salvific gift of Jesus, who is, again, the yes of the Father, the yes of the Father to us. All three of these celebrations are, you might say, a different way of looking at the mystery of God crying out to us, I love you, I want you home, I am with you, come home.
Mm-hmm.
It's a, of course, again, chronologically they are 3 days, and yet they all are remembering and celebrating the one single event of Christ's passion, death, and resurrection, which is the Father's love song to us.
Okay, we're live on Friday morning, which is Good Friday. This is the one day of the year that the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is not celebrated.
Yes.
Tell me why.
That's an excellent, excellent question, Paul. And there's a couple of reasons I believe that the Church has decided not to celebrate the mysteries on this day. First of all, I believe that the fast from the Eucharist is a real stark reminder to us of the gravity of this day and of what we remember on this day. So as we remember the death of the God-man and our capacity for evil, our capacity for rejection, our capacity for cruelty, we fast from this great sacrament of God's love as a way of reminding us, I believe, of the real gravity of what has taken place. But also, the Eucharist, of course, is a representation. It is a representation of the passion of our Lord. It makes it present. And, of course, on Good Friday, we represent it in a different way, not in a sacramental way, as in the Eucharist, but we do remember it in the sense of we proclaim the passion in a particularly solemn way, and we venerate the cross, which is another way, I believe, of representing this mystery of love that is the sacrifice of the Mass.
A lot of opportunities for grace in this Holy Triduum.
Amen. It's a floodgate. The floodgates are open. So I do like to tell people, you know, on these high holy days, come to God with whatever need you have that is nearest and dearest to your heart, whatever need you think God has forgotten about, now's the time. Now is the time during these high holy days. These are great days where grace is in the air.
Father John Paul Erickson, Director of the Office of Worship for the Archdiocese, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you. Happy Triduum to you all.
You too.
To you too. Well, we get a double dose of Father Erickson today on the Rediscover Hour.
That's right. A little later in the show, we will listen in on a discussion between Father Erickson and Archbishop Nienstedt about the Rediscover Initiative in today's No Ordinary Conversation. Every week on the Rediscover Hour, we catch up with a few local Catholics and ask them a question. This week we asked, what is your prayer for Pope Francis? And here's how they responded.
I'm Margaret. I'm from St. Alphonsus in Brooklyn Center. The deepest prayer I pray is for his protection, for the Holy Father's guidance, for his courage and strength. The Holy Spirit's power and movement in this is very clear to me, to unite Catholics wherever they are with the tremendous humility that both the Holy Father, Pope Benedict Emeritus, showed to me. The gift of humility was what I saw over and over and felt with Pope Benedict as he was prayerfully led to the decision he made. But the election of this Pope is a powerful statement of the Holy Spirit's movement in the humility, in the way he's lived his life, in the way he's walked his servanthood in such extraordinary love and service as a shepherd.
My name is Andrew Stopelstead. I'm from St. Henry's Parish in Monticello. My prayer for Pope Francis is one of gratitude that we do have such a strong leader for our church, a holy man, a humble man. And as well, I pray that God gives him all the strength that he needs to carry on this immense task that has been placed on his shoulders.
Hi, I'm Jim from Holy Family in St. Louis Park. I guess that he would be understood as a whole person, and not just like he's humble or he's loves the poor, but just kind of the whole package, kind of like the whole church needs to be understood as a whole rather than just little, you know, I like this part, but really he's a whole person and he is fully Catholic. So I just pray that people understand that and really see him that way.
My name is Kim. I go to Holy Family in St. Louis Park. I think that he would draw lots and lots of Catholics into the mainstream of Catholic teaching, that the church would be strengthened so that Catholics who are really not active would become more active and the church would become strong under his leadership.
Every week on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from local Catholics about a faith topic.
And if you have an idea for a topic, there are lots of ways to reach us. Email us at therediscoverhour@archspm.org or click on the radio button in the top navigation bar at rediscover-faith.org and reach us through our show page or contact us through the Relevant Radio site at relevantradio.com.
Coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from Archbishop Neinstedt about the importance of the Rediscover Initiative in today's No Ordinary Conversation.
Plus, Deacon Joe Mahalik joins us in today's Answering the Call with an in-depth examination of finding the way and keeping God at the center of our lives. All ahead on the Rediscover Hour.
Relevant Radio and Catholic United Financial are bringing you Spring Flowers Early with a special free event on Wednesday, April 10th. Join me, Glenn Leverins, and John Tetzloff for our live radio broadcast from the Como Park Conservatory in St. Paul. We'll provide lunch, door prizes, and a taste of spring tour of the beautiful conservatory. The event is also your chance to participate in our radio program to discuss estate planning and long-term care. The event is free for you to attend, but requires an RSVP because we only have room for 50 people who are ready for spring to arrive. If you'd like to attend, call today to reserve your space at 612-643-4121. That's 612-643-4121. There's no cost or obligation to attend. No products or services will be sold at the event. The number to reserve your space for you and up to three friends is 612-643-4121. Everyone's welcome. You'll get lunch, there'll be prizes, and be part of our live audience. Get an early taste of spring, April 10th at the Como Park Conservatory with Catholic United Financial and Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. We're all created to know our home, our ultimate destination with God for eternity.
Unfortunately, through the influence of our culture and just the weakness of our human nature, we can be tempted to deny that how we get to our destination matters.
Well, the roadmap to our home, to our destination, was the topic of the fourth and final talk in the 2013 Rediscover Faith Speakers Series, The Way, Keeping God at the Center of My Life. And the man who presented that talk, Deacon Joe Mahalik, is with us today. Deacon Mahalik serves at Holy Spirit Parish in St. Paul and directs the Diaconate Formation Program for the Archdiocese and is an instructor for the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute. Good morning, Deacon Joe.
Good morning.
Tell us a little bit about rediscovering the way. What can we learn, first of all, from the early Christians about how to live? They called it the way.
Yes, indeed, they did. I think one of the biggest things to get about the early Christians is that they simply viewed all of life in terms of a journey home to heaven, our true home. And so they thought of themselves as pilgrims on the way, or even people in exile from home, looking to go, if you will, back to home. And so they just lived like they understood people do at home. Many, just as immigrants might from Italy or from Somalia might live as they do in Italy or Somalia when they're here in the States, so would the early Christians. And so they spoke, they related to other people, they served others, they behaved, they did daily life practices as much as they could, as much as they understood, as how those in heaven now live.
They and we are pilgrims of a sort, aren't we?
That's right.
in this journey we're on. Hi, Deacon Joe. It's Corey,
morning,
by the way.
Yeah.
The ultimate aim of this journey is this destination of home with a capital H, like
right.
we've been talking about. But how do we nurture the divine life given to us at baptism and really keep our eyes on that ultimate goal of getting home?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the first thing I'd say is to take a lesson from our children.
Right.
You know, when kids are on a road trip, any parent knows this, you strap the kids in and you set out, and the kids will constantly ask the question,
Are we there yet?
Exactly.
Right from the start.
They get this, yeah. And so they have an inner orientation to arriving at the destination and not seeing the journey in and of itself as the goal, but it's the destination that's why we're on the journey. And so we want to get there. And that's the first thing to understand is that we want to focus ourselves on home. We want to think about it. We want to speak about it.
We have to work to get there, right? I mean,
well,
you can't just plug in
kind of a work. Right, right.
Your GPS and get
right.
there.
We're purposeful. I think this purposefulness or intentionality
right.
really should mark us. It marks pilgrims. It marks people on a journey to a destination.
Well, a popular quotation is, the destination is the journey. And that's not really right, is it?
Well, some people will say the journey is the goal. You know, just being on the journey.
Enjoying the journey,
and sure.
That isn't it completely.
No. I mean, we enjoy things. We learn things. We relish the experiences. But the whole point is to get to where we know we're meant to be.
You want to eventually arrive there.
You sure do. And Jesus was very clear about this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's to be connected to Him, to keep Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at the center of life. And Jesus, concretely, because He came among us and said, follow me.
Tell us about some practical day-to-day ways to meet God on that journey in prayer and Scripture.
Yeah, that's I think the first thing is just that, prayer and Scripture, and daily. And that's really one of the key points right there, is that like so many other things we do in life, daily, we have a set time and place, whether it's brushing our teeth, whether it's eating, whether it's checking our email. We do these things religiously,
like a routine.
A routine. So we want. I think the first wisdom would be have a set time and place to actually stop and pray. Doesn't have to be long, but the all the people with mature lives of prayer, the saints will all say, set time and place is the first thing. Second thing is to adopt a basic structure or routine within that routine. A routine within the routine, as Matthew Kelly said.
Right. I was just reading that.
Yeah. And a really good one, it's not the only one, but a really good one is captured by the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, ACTS, which stands for Adoration, Contrition, Thanksgiving, and Supplication.
Uh-huh.
Supplication.
Supplication, fancy word for
asking. Okay.
Say please.
Right. Okay.
You know, and all of these are simple. My children, little children, get this. Adoration. I love you. You are great. I love to be with you. You're glorious. Contrition. I'm sorry. Thanksgiving. Thank you. Supplication. Please.
Got it.
And that please is really quite important.
Yeah.
Well, and the fact that it's last, too. I mean, you need to do these other things first before you ask for more.
Yeah, and He knows what we need. A lot of asking in prayer is really learning to ask what He knows we truly need,
mm-hmm.
not just what we think we need.
Right.
Well, and that's one of the key things of prayer, too. It's not so much to change God's mind as it is to change our will.
I always question that. I mean, do you ask for exactly what you want, or do you ask to understand His will for what He wants for you?
Well, I think you do both, and then it emerges, you know, and that's part of the journey, is learning what... some things are obvious, and we ought to ask Him for the things that we think that we're so great about producing, you know, our food, our the air we breathe, the beauty of the world.
Our daily bread, so to speak.
Yeah, we pray it, give us this day our daily bread, which is then, as we learn, not just what we need for to sustain physical life on the journey, but really the bread of the Eucharist, the bread of God's will to be made known to us, so that because he has a plan, he's our Father, and he knows what's best, and he sees far beyond we can see. So please, show me your will. Mm-hmm. Show me the way to go.
Well, you mentioned the Eucharist, so let's talk about the sacraments as a way to meet God in our daily lives. How can we make time for the sacraments, aside from Sunday Mass, of course?
Well, I would first stress Sunday Mass.
Of course.
It used to be that we had time for that, and now we have soccer and lacrosse and going out to the coffee shop, and Sunday has become the great shopping day in America.
Pushed down in priority.
Chore day, you know. And the first thing I'd say is to keep God at the center is, like anything else we think is important in life, make the time. And that's sometimes a radical departure from the current pattern we might live. But Sunday Mass, 7 days without the Eucharist makes 1 week, W-E-A-K. and so Sunday Mass, first and foremost. But then as being there in Mass, offering our lives with Jesus to the Father, reading the Scripture, I should have said in prayer, to pick up and actually read the Scripture, beginning with the Gospel and the Psalms beforehand. Afterward, kneel down, thank him. You know, and let someone else get the donuts first, that's fine, but to pause and thank him that he's given himself to us. But beyond Mass, I think the great sacrament that we don't avail ourselves enough is the sacrament of reconciliation or confession.
Yes, a powerful one.
Definitely.
Oh, absolutely.
It's work there.
Because the journey beats us up, and we beat ourselves up. We fail, we sin, we do wrong, we are injured, we're sick. You know, we get sick on the journey, and we need the divine physician to heal us at the core of our being. Just, you know, don't have the time to go into it, but it's a little bit like going to the dentist.
I was going to say, your impersonation of your dentist was kind of scary.
Well, you know, we get this, that nobody says, gee, I'm just so happy to go to the dentist. Just drill my teeth out, will you?
Cannot wait, yeah.
That's what's needed. So likewise, to go to the great divine physician, and he knows deeper than we do what we need to heal us. And the most healing thing is to hear those words, you are forgiven. I forgive you. You are free. Go. Go in peace.
You'd think we would look forward to that, and that would be an easier thing for us to do.
And I think, again, part of the journey is growing in that understanding and learning that, just as growing up in life, you learn, gee, the dentist is something we should go to. The doctor is someone we should go to.
And it feels good afterwards to have
clean
teeth.
Yeah, because you know, you start to go, oh, yeah, I see
that. It's worth
it. Now. Right. Right.
The Church gives us so many opportunities for grace in the sacraments over the course of our lifetime. Mm-hmm. So what about outside of the sacraments, serving others?
Well, yeah, serving others. This is what God has simply done for us. That's how we live at home in heaven. Father, Son, and Spirit are a communion of loving service. And I would stress service born of love. It's not just volunteering here and there, as good as it is. It's not just being nice, but it's really born of love, the love that is in us through the Holy Spirit already, going out from us. So it's the gift, service is the gift of me, the riches of myself to others. What would Jesus do is a popular phrase, but, you know, quite frankly, a lot of times we don't know what Jesus would do.
Right.
But we do know, because we see it in the Scripture, we see it in his followers, in the pilgrims at going home. We do know that he did what we would call the traditional spiritual and corporal works of mercy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, there's seven of them, seven spiritual, seven corporal by tradition, instructing and teaching others about God, encouraging those who doubt, come and see, admonishing those headed in the wrong way, repent and believe, comforting the afflicted who are sorrowing, do not be afraid, praying for the living and the dead, as Jesus did, to bear wrongs done to us patiently, as Jesus did. Today's Good Friday. And on the cross, there's Jesus bearing wrongs done to him patiently, and then finally forgiving others as he did on the cross.
And in doing those spiritual and corporal works of mercy, there's a real opportunity to see Christ in others.
Yeah, yeah, and concretely, and that's where the corporal works of mercy come in. So feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, shelter to the homeless, clothing the naked, visiting the sick and imprisoned, burying the dead, grieving with those in sorrow. Again, it's born of love. We see others as God himself sees them.
And what about meeting God in our suffering?
Well, the journey is one of suffering.
Right.
And to be completely realistic, suffering will find us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It's part of the journey. And again, thinking of Simon of Cyrene even today, I'm sure he did not set out on that Friday morning with any clue that somewhere in the afternoon Roman thugs would command him to pick up an instrument of torture after a bleeding, dying man.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a type of suffering that Simon endured. He didn't look for it. It came to him. And suffering is part of our fallen condition, and it's part of the journey. The realism of Christianity is that regardless of the depth of our suffering, God meets us there. That's what today is all about. He meets us right there in the gift of himself, and he transforms it because that's what he himself did. Father, not my will, but yours be done.
Mm-hmm.
Got about a minute left, Deacon Joe. Can you quickly give us a little summary of how the Beatitudes show us the way to live with God at the center of our lives?
Yeah, the Beatitudes are the face of God, the face of true humanity. It's suffering love. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed those who mourn, blessed the meek, blessed those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are those persecuted for righteousness' sake. The kingdom of heaven, home, is theirs. And again, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. He is the Beatitudes. He is true human, truly man, truly God, truly what we're meant to be, there before us in the Beatitudes.
Deacon Joe Mahalik, it's always fun to visit with you. Thank you so much for coming on with us on the Rediscover Hour. Now, if you missed Deacon Mahalik's talk or any of the talks in the 2013 Rediscover Faith Speakers series, you can find audio and video files online at rediscover-faith.org. Files from all the talks are posted shortly after they're given. All the audio files and all but Deacon Mahalik's video files are posted there now. Video of Deacon Mahalik's talk will be posted next week.
And a reminder that you can listen to archived shows of our Rediscover Hour. Maybe you want to go back and listen to Deacon Mahalik's Answering the Call segment from this week, or you want to hear Archbishop Nynstedt's response on the election to Pope Francis in No Ordinary Conversation 2 weeks ago. Well, you can do all of that anytime you want.
And there are two ways that you can find archived Rediscover Hour shows. You can find them on the Relevant Radio website, relevantradio.com, keyword Rediscover, or you can find them on the Rediscover Hour show page at rediscover-faith.org. Just go to the top navigation bar at rediscover-faith.org. Click on the word radio to get to the Rediscover Hour page. We posted audio from past shows. Plus, we've included links to topics that we've talked about on the air. We'll also have a look at what's coming up next week on the show on that page.
And on our show page, there's a spot for you to send us your comments and suggestions. We always want to hear what you have to say about the Rediscover Hour. If you'd like to hear a particular guest or learn more about a topic, just send us an email. Click on Show Ideas on the bottom right-hand side of our show page.
Coming up on the Rediscover Hour, Archbishop Nynstedt and our guest in the first half hour, Father John Paul Erickson, discuss the meaning and importance of the Rediscover Initiative in this week's No Ordinary Conversation.
We'll be right back.
Now's the time for a set of premium Michelin tires. They're the only tires that come with a Michelin Promise Plan, which includes a 30-day satisfaction guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and limited mileage warranty.
Come into your local Michelin dealer before April 15th, 2013, and buy any set of four new Michelin brand passenger or light truck tires and get a $70 MasterCard reward card after submission. Don't wait. Get your Michelin tires today and enjoy a very promising offer. Westside Tire in Corcoran is Relevant Radio's preferred Michelin dealer. Just minutes west of the metro, call or stop in to Westside Tire, 763-420-2100. For brakes, exhaust, alignments, and tires, come to Westside Tire. They'll take care of you. Certain conditions and limitations apply. See associate in store or visit MichelinMan.com for complete description and details. Reward card issued by U.S. Bank pursuant to a license by MasterCard International Incorporated. Offer expires 4/15/13. Void where prohibited.
Remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, oh God.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. It's time for No Ordinary Conversation, a regular segment here on the show featuring Archbishop John Neinstedt.
In today's No Ordinary Conversation, we'll listen in on a casual discussion between Archbishop Neinstedt and Father John Paul Erickson, the Director of Worship for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, about the meaning and importance of the Rediscover Initiative.
Archbishop, thank you again for your time. I wanted to ask you a little bit about this Rediscover Initiative. It's, of course, gaining a tremendous amount of attention, rightfully so. What exactly is it, and why is it important?
Well, Father, thank you for the question, because I think, as you say, it's very, very important. And it's an initiative that I think is going to redound very positively on the future of the vitality of the faith in this archdiocese, this local church. But I like to look at Rediscover as our response to the invitation of at least three of the last popes to involve ourselves in the new evangelization. And it's particularly appropriate in this year of faith that Pope Benedict XVI called us to. First of all, let me describe what we've done in the Rediscover program.
Please, yes.
I wrote a pastoral letter in end of September, just trying to situate this in a particular context, our particular context, talking about how we here in Minnesota were basically catechized by the missionaries that came here. And the great men and women who were a part of that movement who brought the faith to us. And so my point was to kind of situated in such a way that we could go forward and say, now today, you know, especially in light of the Second Vatican Council, it's not just missionaries who bring the faith to others, but we're all called to be evangelists. We're all called to grow in holiness, and that's the goal of everyone in the church.
Beautiful.
And this is what we offer to people outside of the church or people who have walked away from the church. So in response to that, one of the things I wanted to highlight in my I gave seven suggestions as to how we should implement this, and those can be read in my pastoral letter, which is on
Archbishop I have read thoroughly several times.
I'm sure you have. I'm sure you have. You probably have it on your bedstead.
Several copies, right?
Yeah, exactly. You'll get a bonus at the end of the year for that, Father. But at Christmas time, we've had the wonderful, wonderful help of Matthew Kelly. Who is a prominent author and speaker, a very charismatic man. He wrote a book called Rediscovering Catholicism. And we, through his assistance, were able to give a copy of that book to everyone who came to Mass on Christmas, yes, either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. So there were several thousand books that were given up. And the idea was that we would take this book, in which he talks about the new evangelization, and have people read it and then form book clubs in their parishes. And he has a nice set of questions. You can read a chapter and then a number of questions at the end, which would stimulate conversation in these book clubs. In addition to that, we're offering four different topics on God, the existence of God, how God impacts in my life, belonging to a community, the way how we follow, in a sense, the moral response to the faith, and then the celebration of the sacraments, strength and grace. And we've had these in our three vicariates, and my latest information I had, after the third talk, we had over 10,000 people
That's remarkable.
Where we're coming in.
That's absolutely remarkable.
It's great. All this is leading up to an archdiocesan-wide celebration of the Eucharist on October 12th at the River Center, in which we hope to get anywhere between 5,000 and 6,000 people to come together and celebrate their faith.
Marvelous.
And maybe find out how we want to go forward, because we said this wasn't going to just be a one-time program, that we wanted it to continue on. And how that happens, I think we need input from the people who have already experienced it. In addition to that, our Catholic Spirit, which is a great diocesan paper, has been having articles. It's actually a centerfold in each one of the bi-monthly publications. And Matthew Kelly has agreed to do the column for us.
Yes, indeed.
It's the first time ever that he's done a column in a regular paper. We also have, and this is really high-tech, we have an app for an iPhone or an iPad.
So I have heard. Yes,
and I actually have it on my...
Oh, my goodness, Archbishop.
I wasn't able to do it myself, but I can...
But you've got it. That's the key thing. You've got it.
It's got all kinds of videos and helpful information and announcements and that sort of thing, so it's really great.
Wonderful.
And I would recommend that highly.
Marvelous.
In that book that I referred to, Rediscovering Catholicism, Matthew Kelly himself says that there are really four elements for a strategy for evangelization for the normal person, Mary and Joe in the pew.
Okay.
The first, he says, is friendship. And he suggests there picking five people that you want to, you think really need to be drawn closer to Christ, closer to the church, and just pick those people and continue to develop a friendship with them. He says, pray for them. Decide that you're going to pray for them for a whole month. Get them to tell their story and share your story of faith with them. He says, start out easy, taking them to lunch and just talking about their life, where they are, and this sort of thing, before you get in the heavy dialogue of faith sharing. And then he says, invite them to an event. Welcome them. That's what the fourth thing, the sense that they're welcome to be a part of an event in the church. And he said, probably not taking them to church on Sunday, because if they haven't been to confession, they haven't been to church for a while, they get to the very sensitive time of the Holy Communion and they're not allowed to come. He said, rather take them to a homeless shelter, take them to a soup kitchen, take them to a nursing home, give them Matthew Kelly's book, ask him to read that, and then sit down over lunch and talk about it. Invite them to the book club or one of the faith-sharing series.
Archbishop, that's beautiful. I'm reminded of the gospel quote, come and see. So the disciples of Jesus invite those that they care about to come and meet this Jesus who we certainly hope is rediscovered in this effort. So Archbishop, thank you again for your time.
You're welcome.
It's always good to hear somebody interviewing his boss.
Right. And we're so lucky to have such good support for this whole initiative. It's just been awesome kickoff to the whole thing.
We want to give a little plug to something coming up on the Rediscover Hour. It's over a month off yet, but it's going to be fun. Matthew Kelly will be joining us live on the Rediscover Hour on May 3rd.
That's right.
Of course, that show gets replayed twice over the weekend on Saturday evenings at 6 and Sunday mornings at 9. Matthew Kelly will be our guest.
That'll be fun to have him. We might have him again, and we'll also see him at the big October event as well at River Center.
And, of course, we'll always hear from Archbishop Neinstedt regularly on the Rediscover Hour in No Ordinary Conversation. Here's a quick look at some upcoming events going on around the Archdiocese. First, Catholic author Steve Ray will speak at St. John the Baptist in New Brighton, April 3rd, 7 p.m. He'll present Peter the Rock, the Keys, and the Chair. Steve is a great dynamic speaker and just a fireball. For more information, visit St. John the Baptist, New Brighton's website.
And on April 6th, there is a men's breakfast featuring speaker Monsignor James Patrick Shea at St. Helena in Minneapolis. That's Saturday, April 6th. The day starts with Mass at 8 a.m., followed by breakfast, and then the speaker at 8:30. Cost is $5. Reservations must be made in advance by calling 612-729-7321. That's 612-729-7321.
You notice how it's easy to get guys together by feeding them first.
That's the way to their heart, I've been told.
Well, here's a fun one. Don't miss the Priests and Seminarians Basketball Tournament, Friday, April 12th, with a barbecue. Here we go. A barbecue at 5 p.m. And the games start at 6:30. That'll be at De La Salle Catholic High School in Minneapolis. Come and watch priests of the Archdiocese meet up against the seminarians from the St. Paul Seminary and St. John Vianney College Seminary. Also, a dunk contest between the Catholic high schools in the Twin Cities. Best part of all, it's all free. It's open to the public. You can bring your youth group, tell your young adult group, invite the men's groups, an evening of fun. It's coming up on Friday, April 12th. Barbecue at 5 p.m. and the game start at 6:30 at De La Salle Catholic High School in Minneapolis.
I'm a basketball person, so I'll have to check that out myself.
When we talk about the priests and seminarians, basketball might, we're using the term lightly.
And couples, mark your calendars for the Cana dinner at St. Charles Borromeo in St. Anthony on April 13th. The dinner follows the 5 p.m. Mass. Father Joseph Johnson will speak on Disciples Together, Spouses Deepening Faith Through Their Vocation of Marriage. It also features a social and catered dinner. Tickets are $52 per couple and must be purchased before April 8th. You can call 612-781-6529 for details. Again, that's 612-781-6529.
You can find all of our calendar listings on the Catholic Spirit website. That's thecatholicspirit.com. Just click on the calendar in the menu bar. Coming up on the next Rediscover Hour, we'll have an in-depth conversation about a new series at the Cathedral of St. Paul for people who are interested in becoming Catholic or rediscovering their Catholic faith and getting confirmed. Find out about this engaging bi-weekly series that runs through the summer and leads into the RCIA process in the fall in next week's Answering the Call.
And in our regular invitation situation segment, Bishop Lee Pache shares a good and not so good way to reach out to a family member or friend who's drifted away from the church. Hear his suggestions for positive engagement with others to rediscover the truth and beauty of our faith.
Plus, we'll hear from local Catholics about what they're doing personally to mark the Universal Year of Faith. Come back next week, the Rediscover Hour, Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., Sundays at 9 a.m., right here on Relevant Radio. And you can also find archived versions of the show at rediscover-faith.org, relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio.